B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just heard Tim McCone say baseball is starting to cancel games tonight on their schedule due to COVID concerns and COVID positive tests. Carabas has a great question. Can we also retroactively cancel Saturday and Sunday's games? Asking on behalf of the Red Sox.
He's having a bad week.
Yeah, well, baseball's back, though. How long it remains back? Well, this week will be trying for baseball. Game's already canceled tonight, but it just highlights the concerns of playing sports right now, and that could mean that come NFL season, there will be players that are not on the field because they have chosen to opt out, whether they are high risk, whether it is they don't want to take the risk, whatever it might be, they are not going to be out there. And according to Jim Murray, who we've already mentioned once today on the show, Jim Murray says that he expects Marcus Cannon to opt out before the season and that the Patriots will be without him once the season begins. What do you got on this? Anything?
I got nothing on this. I reached out to two people. No response. That I would trust.
That might be a confirmation.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just heard Tim McCone say baseball is starting to cancel games tonight on their schedule due to COVID concerns and COVID positive tests. Carabas has a great question. Can we also retroactively cancel Saturday and Sunday's games? Asking on behalf of the Red Sox.
He's having a bad week.
Yeah, well, baseball's back, though. How long it remains back? Well, this week will be trying for baseball. Game's already canceled tonight, but it just highlights the concerns of playing sports right now, and that could mean that come NFL season, there will be players that are not on the field because they have chosen to opt out, whether they are high risk, whether it is they don't want to take the risk, whatever it might be, they are not going to be out there. And according to Jim Murray, who we've already mentioned once today on the show, Jim Murray says that he expects Marcus Cannon to opt out before the season and that the Patriots will be without him once the season begins. What do you got on this? Anything?
I got nothing on this. I reached out to two people. No response. That I would trust.
That might be a confirmation.
Yeah. I mean, take it whatever way you goes. Want.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just going to say nothing.
Well, it's concerning because you lose Dante Scarnecchia, right? And yes. You franchise Joe Tooney. So you look at the franchise number with Tooney now. Is that a bad franchise if he's playing at the tackle position?
No, it's not a bad franchise to begin with.
It's not a franchise. I'm with you on this. I completely 100% agree with you on this. But it gives you some flexibility and versatility where you can kick Joe out, and he's played the position before. Played it in college. Had to play it when didn't he kick outside when what's his name went down? Somebody got hurt. Was it Wynn? And they just kicked Tooney out, I thought. So he's played it before. And I'm not saying, hey, it's going to be a permanent thing. I do like to have Mason, Andrews, and Tooney together in the middle. That keeps everything solidified there. And I think that's where it all starts. You kind of, you know, fan it out from there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Marcus has fought, you know, really hard to deal with his situation and, you know, overcoming that, you know, and beating cancer there. But like you said, we don't know what the effects and how these people feel, especially people with compromised issues and health issues, and how they're going to feel, you know, 4 months from now if they do contract it. So, I mean, if you're Marcus, it's like, hey, maybe you do tap out on this one. You know, with, you know, the back and forth with the league and players in the National Football League, starters speaking up, superstars saying, we don't feel protected enough to go back to camp. If they're feeling that, imagine what Marcus and what he went through and how he's feeling.
Well, it's also one of those things where a guy is near the maybe end of his career, where you start getting to that point where he's been what, in the league, what, 10 years now? Has he been around that long?
He's been around for a while, man. I mean, we've been through the Cam Flemings. You know.
He was in the Gronk McCourty draft, right?
Yeah. Okay, so that's 10 years. And
a lot of injuries.
I think
Nicks, cuts, bruises, they all add up.
You know, offensive linemen usually don't play 15 years.
They wear you down a little bit.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe when you know you're in that back half, maybe back the final third of your career, whatever you want to call it, you start getting closer to a retirement and you think, do I want to come back for this?
I mean, he's seen Dante, you know, come and go twice.
Right, right. I mean, what if you're near the end and you're on the fence about how much longer you want to play, and now this happens, and you say, you know what, this, maybe this is a good time to not play anymore. Maybe this is a good time to say, this is the signal to go home and be done. You know, and so maybe that impacts guys' decisions to say, I'm going to opt out. I'm not going to take part in this and delay the decision.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily say I'm done and I'm retired.
Well, it sucks losing your best tackle this quickly before the season starts. You know?
Right. I mean, you know, Zoe, you had guys you played with who have talked about, like, the passion for doing it sort of waning. The more you do it, you're like, ugh, you know, another year, right, another camp. Maybe he's just at that stage, and this makes it easier to say I'm going to opt out. But if he does, if he opts out, that's not good for this team. That's not great, because I think we've all talked about the Patriots having a offensive line that will allow them to run the ball better, that would protect better for wherever the quarterback is, investing in the offensive line, investing in Joe Tooney.
Questions a tight end. We're
all
going to be
things
lined up next to him, right?
Right.
I mean, look at last year when you're scrambling with Karras. You're just trying to patchwork things all year when David Andrews went down with the blood clot. And, you know, that's right in the middle of camp. And, you know, you're banking on Andrews being there. And that's like, that's where it all starts.
What does that mean we're looking at? Corey Cunningham? What does this mean?
Hey, what's it again? Get Newhouse back.
I mean,
Marshall Newhouse.
You remember, they had a tackle issue last year.
Yeah.
And
I think they still do have a tackle issue. I think there's still concerns with Wynn. People still want to see Wynn.
And now you've got two tackle issues then.
Right. And it's your best tackle. Just potentially could retire.
They signed, who was the guy in the, Valdir? Remember, they tried to sign Valdir last summer, and he bailed on them?
On Valdez, yeah.
Yes. Yep. He didn't stick around. They were trying to sort of Band-Aid that thing at left tackle all last year.
Luminor, was that? Was he
Luminor, yeah. And then now you've got an issue on the other side. And Wynn status, who
knows? This Kajus kid. What's he? Is he an interior, outside guy? You know,
he's a tackle.
Tackle. I mean, they got a bunch of names there, but nobody's popping. You know? Who was the big freak, the 6'8" freak they had in, too? Was that last year?
That was Velty, right? Oh, no. That was the
beard,
was terrible.
Bald.
Dan Skipper.
Dan Skipper.
Skipper. The guy that Bedard loved. Like,
yeah.
Dan Skipper. Oh, Dan, he's a journeyman.
Right.
Dan Skipper.
Dan Skipper in there, right?
He's a journeyman. That guy. It sucks if he's not there. Yeah. Like, oh, no. You know, and again, all of this is sort of with that thing that cloud that hangs over everything right now, which is, what's the season even look like? How does it impact everything that's going on when you're talking about playing during a pandemic?
So they start reporting tomorrow.
Yes, they do.
They need to report in groups. They're going to start their 2 days of COVID testing. Get that out of the way, and then the physicals come. Takes about 3 or 4 days, and then you slowly get into the, you know, training, and you're allowed to enter the building. The guys have
and then
the
sit
building
around for basically 3 weeks, the way it looks on the schedule. We'll get to that in a bit. Here's one more to throw at you. I heard Jay Stu asking some questions about Edelman's knee. Something up with Julian Edelman's knee. We saw him in a video last week. working out with Cam Newton.
Yeah, very short shorts. Yep.
Julian Edelman.
Hey, that's a good throw there. That, hey, maybe that could happen that way, you know? Like, maybe. Maybe.
Wait.
Oh, really? Maybe? Nice.
Wait.
That's nice. Wishful
what was your issue
here?
With the video? That
I got a lot of issues with the videos.
So you thought Cam looked surprised at Edelman offering him a compliment? Is that what you're saying?
No, like, I don't know if Edelman thought, like, hey, like, maybe, I took it as, I think Edelman maybe expected the ball to be a little shorter or differently.
Okay.
I think he took him up, feel a little more, Julian taps the toes. He goes, hey, it's nice throw. It might happen that way. Like, maybe. I think maybe was the word he used.
Oh, he's trying to be nice to say, like, against, that's not how this
we're
is
going against
work.
Air here. You know, I think Julian's used to making the break, and boom, ball be in there.
Ball's right on.
Don't take me all the way up and out. Like, I want to catch it and run. He's a catch and run guy. You know, he's a stick mover.
Well, he's also 34 years old.
Oh, he's 34 already.
He's 34 years old. He turned 34 in May.
Feels like he's 32.
He's not.
God, I wish he was 32.
He's 34.
He always seems to have some interesting issue pop up right before.
Yes.
Camp, whether it's a hand, a knee, a foot.
So the J. Stu Moles, they're saying there's an issue with his knee.
Maybe.
You want to know Wes Welker's last year with the Patriots?
What, 31?
31. Doesn't it feel like he was older then than Edelman is now?
Oh, God,
you
yeah.
Look up something
way,
else?
Way more.
Welker's not a good one. Look up Troy Brown's last year as a Patriot.
Oh, he was old, though.
Yeah.
Was he?
But he didn't play much, though. His last productive year was probably about the same age, right?
But those cliffs are big, man. The Troy Brown cliff and then the Welker cliff, those guys, you know, that toll caught up with those guys. You know what I think of Troy.
Oh, you know what? Troy actually had somewhat productive years right up until 35. Older than I thought.
He had played two positions.
He had 42. He had 43 catches when he was 35 years old. That's producing something for your team at that age.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the year they had no receivers, though.
Right.
Well, he had 39 the year before that in 2005. 2004, he was hurt that year. He had 17 catches. Yeah, his last big year, though, was at 31. He had 97 catches. The 97? 97 catches at 31, and then he sort of went south after that. But he hung around a long time.
Sure did. Get you in a Patriot Hall of Fame doing those things.
Absolutely.
Red jacket.
No doubt about it.
You know what's cool?
But yeah, Edelman's 34, so you think there might be something to that? Something to watch?
I think it's
Should we keep an eye on it?
I think there's something always to watch with him right before camp, whether it's a gear-up period or, you know, he's such balls to the walls when he works out that these type of things creep up on
All right,
him.
How would we write the story? Former Patriots star quarterback says.
Who's saying that?
The news. The news media.
Oh, you mean regarding me?
Yeah, they had a story.
Oh, no, I'm not a star.
They had a story on you that we're going to get to.
Well, there's your problem with the story to begin with.
Well, we're going to get to that story, though.
Yeah.
You are quoted as former Patriots star quarterback.
It's interesting.
Scott Zolak said.
It's funny since I said X, it, and I know
and
I didn't see that. Right?
Said X, Y, and Z about Stidham versus Cam. We're going to get to that next segment. But for this one, I'd like to wrap it up like and tie it with a bow.
Sure.
For those websites. So the answer is he always sort of has something pop up before camp. Is that what it is?
There always seems to be some sort of small issue with him right before camp, whether a hand, a foot, a knee, or test.
Test. I forgot about that one.
Sprain.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Keep an eye on that one too.
Do you want a quick item on the Marlins thing before we go?
Yes.
Quickly.
This is what Major League Baseball having issues and canceling games tonight.
So 11 of 33. So that's a third of the team. Go ahead.
The Inquirer says that the Marlins found out they had three positive tests Sunday morning. They had a players only meeting to decide if they wanted to play Sunday's game. They played the game.
Played the game. More guys caught it.
Wait. The players decided if they were going
to
play the game?
Players only meeting to decide if they wanted to play the game.
So what's the meeting? Guys, we've got COVID here on the team. Should we go out and play today?
And that's what they did? Apparently, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Should that really be left up to the players?
No.
Absolutely not.
Shouldn't there be a protocol that covers that? Wait a minute. We spent 3 months
right. That's what the NFL saying.
Protocols.
That's what the NFL
plans.
Saying. Give
protocols.
Us the numbers.
What happens if someone gets sick? How often do you get tested? If there's two or three players, what do we do that? And they just said, let's have a players-only meeting. Should we keep going?
That's what the guy from the Philadelphia Inquirer said. I said, I can't find that protocol in the 101-page manual.
Good. So he called out this feels the like, lack of the players' meeting protocol.
This feels like the one player in the Super Bowl with us in 96 got drunk and ended up sleeping at three strippers' house, and he missed a team photo. Parcells left with us. Take a vote. We send him back, or are we going to keep him?
No. I want to know if any management was involved. Do the players find out about their positive tests before management? Is that why?
Oh, it's certainly possible. Because it's there.
That's a bad system.
That is, it's
somebody
a horrid
in charge
system.
Has to know. They don't have to know the names, but they have to. They should know if there's a positive test in their group to make a responsible decision for the group.
There's got
to
be protocol. There's no protocol.
Players only meeting. By
shut,
the way,
shut the door. We're gonna whisper so
hey,
they can't
guys,
hear.
We're all loaded up on COVID here. Should we still go on and play? Yeah, let's do it. All right.
Hey Butch, how you feeling today? Teddy, how you feeling? Huh?
What is this?
You guys feel all right? You want to play? Jimmy's got COVID. He's not playing.
What's Dorn got for us today? Does he want to play today? Like, what?
Get in front of the ball,
hey,
Dorn.
Dorn. What the hell? They're going to get in trouble for that. Major League Baseball's going to be pissed that that happened.
Yeah, they might have to shut down the whole season.
Oh, God.
All right.
In a non-contact sport.
Because they only thought it was three. It was actually 11.
That's in the mix. Zoe has had some time away. We want to know if his take on Stidham versus Cam has changed at all. And they are quoting you in the news media, Zoe, what you have to say, or have you, you've already said
somebody
about the battle between the QBs. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Jared Stidham's been through it. He's the most touted high school quarterback coming out of state. He went to Baylor, falls coach there. Coach left, transferred to Auburn, played high level there. Got his ass kicked, came out early. Survived, beat out Brian Hoyer. He was a lone backup to Tom Brady last year. It's great. Cam's working out. He looks great. We had sat here and listened to beat writers, and we played their spin. So don't tell me we didn't sit here for 2.5 months. Stid's the name. Seamless, right? Hey, Tom wasn't here at practice last year that much, right? Stid took a lot of it. If I was you, I'd buy a 4 shirt instead of one.
Okay. It was 2 weeks ago today. Scott Zolak giving his take on the quarterback situation of the New England Patriots. I've never been to EssentiallySports.com, but I was drawn to it last night, thanks to Jim. Headline, that's what I was told. Former New England Patriots star believes Jarrett Stidham will start ahead of Cam Newton. This story is by Akash Chatterjee.
Ha ha.
I did a Twitter search to see if that was a real person.
Yeah.
And there were 9 accounts with that name,
wow.
None of which appear to be the person who may have authored the story.
They screwed the headline up.
Not even sure they're a real person. Could be a total scam.
How do you get a story? The
headline's I've never heard of this
up.
Site. It says, the New England Patriots bid farewell to their long-term quarterback, Tom Brady, and brought in Cam Newton. Until now, it was expected that the 31-year-old would be starring for the Patriots during the upcoming season. However, former New England quarterback Scott Zolak believes otherwise. Zolak is convinced that Jarrett Stidham would start instead of Newton. There's nothing wrong so far in this story.
No. All fair.
While speaking with the NBC Sports Network.
When did I do that? They did.
I think they mean on this show.
Oh.
Which also happens to be on NBC Sports Boston. The former Patriots star said that Stidham would ultimately make it into the starting lineup. The video was later uploaded on Twitter. Zolak said, I believe Stidham will be the starting quarterback from the people I talk to and people that I trust.
Yeah.
The players, people tied to the team captains, the way they speak of Jarrett Stidham and the work he has put in. They turned that into, you were
well,
told,
I was told hey, guy,
Jarrett
hey,
Stidham was the starter.
So he's going to be the, what? Why do people do this?
Can you put a pause before, read that sentence again with the pause before. From the people I talk to.
What?
I believe
the way
Stidham
Zoe speaks, not just on paper.
I believe Stidham will be the starting quarterback from the people I talk to and people that I trust, the players, people tied to the team.
Oh, put
team
the, you say put the pause before that.
It's a separate thought.
Yeah.
He's making a statement, and then he's pausing, and then he's saying, from the people I talk to,
and,
then he's talking about other things.
I'm telling you why I'm making that statement, because it's based on, and I make that statement based on the people that I've talked to and the information that I've gathered as to why I feel, and I still feel 2 weeks after the day where you just heard me there, and I'll double down, triple down, and I still
think
he's
going to
be
the starter. That's a little bit of a
deceiving headline. It's a terrible
headline. What I was told.
Wrong.
I don't know that that was...
Oh, I would have gotten a call on that.
I mean, if they tried to make it out that you had, like, said, oh, I talked to the people in charge, and they said...
Yeah. The one guy in charge, Bill.
That as if you would like talk to Bill, and he told you, Zoe, we signed Cam Newton, but we're going with Stidham.
No, I understand why I signed Cam Newton, and I still stick to it. I think it's a
okay.
Month-long trial.
2 weeks since your last comments on this.
Yeah,
where are you at right now?
With,
same thing
with preseason games being canceled. I even think it's Stidham's job's more.
Wow, look at this. I like it.
Yeah,
moving in a different direction. I mean, I don't like that.
Roll with the guy.
I want
knows
Cam
it.
Newton to be the guy.
Because here's what I'm not going to do, and this is really starting to piss me off. Because I don't know if I hold out hope that we could potentially maybe do some shows down there while practice is going, like we always have over the last, what?
I hope so.
10, 14 years or whatever the hell. 11 years.
I take everything I said back, by the way.
On what?
Do you want the audio from the NBC Sports Boston tweet?
Yeah, let's hear it. Did they do you wrong?
Starting quarterback for the Patriots, Scott.
I believe Jared's going to be the starter from the people that I talked to.
There was no pause.
There was no, what I was told, though.
Right. People that I trust, players, people tied to the team, team captains, the way they speak of Jared Stidham and the work he has put in. A lot of people thought Jared Stidham was on a two-week vacation, you know, on a wedding tour down in Texas, which he did go to a wedding. They spent some time with family, worked out every day. Worked out every day with pro-caliber receivers.
Okay, but
that's what I was told. So,
yep, bingo. I said that. Remember, everybody said, oh, Stid's on the vacation. I'm like, nope, what I was told.
So
he's been throwing down here.
I think
one
of your sources in this is biased, by the way.
Oh, I would agree with that.
The one you and I talked about last week.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There's a bias there.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Yeah.
But the thing with David Andrews being in and around him all the time,
perception was
that's important.
The perception was the kid, and this Andrew's not the source, by the way.
No, he's not. You did not mean to insinuate that.
The perception during that time when he went to Texas, he was like, I'm gone. They signed Cam. F it. I'm out of here. I'm not doing anything. Like, no. He's actually assembled talent down there and took his pads with him, and he's throwing. So, just so you know. But he's working out, too, even though Cam's... This is in the midst of Cam releasing the videos and the team releasing the video and all that, which seems like has quieted down a little bit, right?
What'd you make of Cam's arrival?
They got to him. I'm going to be quiet from here.
So when he said, I'm not going to talk, you think that's the team telling him time to shut up?
That's a Rob Gronkowski. I kind of want to talk about Brandon Cooks jumping on my back, but I can't. You know, Bill don't want us to. You know, yeah, they got to him and said, shut up.
Okay.
It's not your job yet. He just assumes it's his gig. That's the thing that opens my eyes. And it doesn't work that way here. And it's what I'm not going to get caught up in if we're not down there. The throws versus air. We're going to get the charts when tweets from training camp.
Well, that's how the Stidham hype train began last year.
Cam Newton was 11 of 13 throwing to fullbacks versus linebackers today in a cut quarter drill where it's only in a 2 yard area he's throwing. I'm going to read into that. That's going to help me facilitate my opinion as to whether he'll be the starter or not. No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to chart every freaking throw versus air. Tell me what he's doing in blitz period. Give me 11 on 11 when it's full go. Thanks, McCone. What the hell's that hum that you turn on? Jesus, it's brutal.
Is it bad?
It's really bad.
You breathe in it after when you're not talking. Yeah, it's really bad.
I'm going to shut his mic off.
Yeah, just turn it off for now.
Do you have a button to turn yours on and off?
Yes, sir.
I do. It's off.
I would say just turn it on when you want to talk.
How many days?
I'm not telling you not to talk, McCone.
No,
feel free.
Like you're talking. Yeah.
How
many days you here this week?
4.
Who did we eat the other day?
I don't know. It's a good question. Mike Riley, Thursday.
Oh, Sarge.
Excellent.
Haven't seen him lately.
Well, he'll be
rearing.
He's pent up. Sir. Yes, sir. They have this kind of glass they have in the Army. Professional grade. Bulletproof. Yeah. Dark presence.
We've been told that the glass is very much not bulletproof, by the way.
Feels like it.
And that we need to be very careful around it because it does have the potential to break if we bump into it.
Yeah, you gotta be a moron to touch it.
You gotta be very careful around the glass.
Don't move it. Call somebody.
Don't move the glass.
Right. Bingo. Yeah, but no, I mean, I still feel that way. And I think not having games, you're going to roll with the guy that you think has the best feel for your football team. And I think right now, that is Stidham, and I'll throw Hoyer in there too. But I think Hoyer might have a better feel for this offense than Stidham does. And Brian's a good practice player. If he looks good in camp, you're going to base who looks the best in practice in camp as to who's going to start week one. You're going to start the guy.
Isn't that wild?
That's what sucks. That's what sucks.
That's not normal.
I'm gonna be going into the Miami game not having a freaking clue of what to expect. And that sucks. Because I'm not going to be able to visualize or watch practice. You can tell who's coming on. Like, back in Brady's year, I could tell he's gonna eventually beat Bledsoe out here.
Is this not Bill Belichick's dream to have the limited media access that it will exist this year across the NFL?
Do we have the option to either do a Zoom and we're going to do an interview or cancel it? Let's cancel it, okay? Tell them, watch them. I'm telling them.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be limited media allowed to be there.
Yeah, we'll send you the notes from practice, okay? We didn't talk about that yet. Did we put an injury report?
No. We'll send you a video of the stretching period. Okay.
Thanks for coming down.
Here's a video of the guys doing sprints.
Here's Mike Reese breaking down the 5-song music set list. And it's P. Diddy with T-Pain and Aha.
Let's get to your calls coming up next, and also a Mike Reese item. We'll do both of those things, as you mentioned, Mike Reese. That's after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Don't sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who is always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking forward to more items being sent to Jim Louth at 98.5 The Sports Up for the decorating of his shelves. There's a pack of Bazooka bubblegum making it your way, apparently. A pack of gum that was given to a fan by Jim Corsi back in a Red Sox game in 1995. That's the type of stuff we're looking for. That's the mother load.
Yeah, right. That sounds like your jacket right there from last week.
Absolutely. Oh, I bet you.
I had Mavon over my house, and he ate half a sandwich. And I thought maybe I should have saved that sandwich.
Should have.
I could have gave it to Billy Lanny. Billy Lanny would love that.
Big star.
He could shellack it.
Big star.
Yeah.
Mike Reese does his Sunday notes still, even though there hasn't been much football to cover this spring. He had this item. Item number 6. Value of McDaniel's presence. This caught Jim Louth's eye. He writes,
this one makes Jim good.
He writes, while the Patriots don't place a high priority on job titles under Belichick, it seems fair to say offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels would be the most likely assistant to assume any type of interim head coach role if the situation called for it. Belichick has spoken in the past about how fortunate he feels to have McDaniels, and here's something else that reflects McDaniels' value to the franchise. He's one of just two offensive coordinators in the NFL who has been in the position with the same team for more than 2 seasons.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wild? McDaniels has been the Patriots offensive coordinator since 2012, while Pete Carmichael Jr. has held the position for the Saints since 2009. All right. What's the big deal about this, Jim? What is the
big
deal?
It up as a talk show?
Yeah.
No big deal. We're speculators. No, we're speculating on everything. But Mike Reese brings it up, it makes me think of it and puts it on the radar.
It's an odd nugget. It's an odd nugget because...
Number 6 out of 10 items, number 6. It slides in at number 6.
You know how we talk about you know how we talk about Bill preparing and how the Patriots, and based on the Pioli conversations, how they're always, what, two, three steps ahead of everybody.
Okay.
So going into it, Bill's got his compilation of kickers, tight ends, tackles, whatever position, corners,
yeah,
that he will tell them to go to if, you know, the pandemic hits and we got to get guys. He's also got a bench for personnel guys. He's got a bench for scouts. He's probably thought this over so many times as to, say if I get sick, who do I trust the team to?
Well, isn't McDaniels the obvious guy?
With Skarnecki gone, yes.
So why write it if it's obvious?
Because he needs to fill a column that he's been doing every single Sunday, despite there being a lack of things to cover.
Reese is tight with
Phil
Yates.
That's a good item.
Reese is tight with Phil Yates.
That's a good observation, good thought. I mean, God forbid Bill Belichick gets sick or, you know, contract this virus.
Got to have a plan. Got to have a plan.
I mean, if you're asking, oh, if, you know, we're talking about the Marlins today, and do you just pull from the pool? And we've talked about this, you know, what if a coach gets ill? There's older coaches across the league. What happens in those scenarios? Who's the guy on the staff that you would take over as head coach?
Right.
On this staff? I mean, is there anyone else you would even seriously talk about?
It's McDaniels.
If McDaniels
by
was able right. to do it?
Steve. It would have been Skarnecki, but he's gone.
Right. He's not here.
Right.
Are we going to give the job to Lombardi's kid and make him the head coach?
Mick.
Okay, no, it's obvious. We talked about it weeks ago. Remember we talked about, hey, they should get the Bear Bryant tower so you can coach from the tower at
right.
practice, and he can do the booger mobile on the sidelines so he stays right, away right. from everybody else.
All right, so you know what's far more fun? Like, to me, this is a non, this is a, not even a topic here. I mean, get it. I mean, get why this is important.
Oh, all of a sudden they signed Cam Newton? Is this a plan now? Like, this gets my mind racing to
like it's a plan to go to McDaniels?
Oh, he wanted Tebow. He wanted a running quarterback. Now maybe McDaniels wanted Cam Newton. Maybe McDaniels was the one that wanted
Maybe.
I don't know.
And
it just gets you thinking.
What's the conspiracy theory there?
Well, McDaniels didn't want the Carolina job because of Cam Newton.
Here's what's more fun. Who's the next guy if Belichick and McDaniels are unable to coach because they've been told to quarantine?
McCone just said it.
Steve.
Well, I know, but McCone just like blew right through it. I was sort of doing the setup, you know, like this is here's a offshoot topic.
McCone, you still doing okay post Brady?
No.
If McDaniels is, you know, someone who is in close contact with Bill Belichick, right? Here's the scenario. Bill Belichick tests positive and McDaniels was in close contact and he now needs to quarantine.
Mm.
Who's the head coach? Is it Steve Belichick?
Mayo, maybe.
That's what I'd say, but he doesn't have the same experience as Steve Belichick.
Would you take Mayo over McDaniels?
No. No. No, and I don't think Gerard would want it over Josh. So you got to be able to hold the room. You know? And I think that's something Steve could struggle with right now. I'm talking about from a team perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his guys. He coaches that second. He's got those guys.
And Gerard can hold the room.
Gerard can hold the room.
Oh yeah.
But I think Gerard wants to concentrate on defense. Yeah, I got to deal with my guys.
Well, no matter what, you're going to get someone who's
right.
I mean, if not McDaniels.
I'm saying
outside of McDaniels.
And I think it would be a lot.
McDaniels has head coaching experience.
It would be a lot quicker than what Bill would deal with the room. You know, as far as, you know, Bill has his Monday meetings and they hold the team stuff and Bill goes back to his office, he nitpicks this and that, and then he gets after those guys and that. You wouldn't have the time to do that. You get right back into your offense. You do a quick team thing. Then here we go. Let's break up. Let's get into our individual groups, and let's go. And now, with everything being split up, like, now you got to organize putting quarterbacks in different rooms from each other. We're going to do this on Zoom. You got so many other things to think about now.
Can Belichick coach without coming in contact? Can he, like, drive a Pope Mobile around practice with a speaker?
Nope.
Can he coach from the booth
nope.
during a game and just talk to
nope.
whoever's on the sidelines? Can
that's
he
just,
maybe do that
style.
As a preventative?
Jim, he's a hands-on
it's not football.
Guy.
That's not football to
you
Bill.
Watch him.
I think this is not the style of a football season.
That's like saying, can Jimmy Johnson do it? No. I think
just
they, those
this
guys
glass right here makes me think. Like,
those guys need
can Belichick
balls.
Do it through the glass?
I like how Zoe's already twirling the whistle. Twirling the whistle.
In, then it's out.
Let's get to some of your calls.
It's out.
What do you say?
Yep.
Keith and Bridgewater on the NFL. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hi.
Who was the Patriot? Was it David Andrews, the center, who was out sick last year with
yes.
a heart problem? Well, I'd just like to say to him, because I have an underlying problem, too, I just hope he stays home for his health and, you know, doesn't come back this year.
So his issue, Keith, was a blood clot. He had a blood clotting yes. issue. So,
well, with this virus, I just hope he stays home and doesn't even play.
Well, I mean, now, if they haven't figured out, Keith, I mean, and he's cleared, he's playing. Okay, go
all
ahead.
Right. Well, okay. Now, getting to the Patriots for Scott. How does Belichick run this defense, trying to figure out who's going to be the starting quarterback? Is he going to tell this defense, come after these two guys? Because we have no exhibition games, no scrimmages. How do you run these practices? Are they going to come full blow with these two guys? What are they going to do, Scott?
What two guys?
Stidham and Newton, when they run practice. Are they going to say, put the pressure on, try to tackle them, tackle these running backs? How do you run the practices?
I think you only have 7 padded practices. That's the problem, too. So you're really in thud, and we've been down there where there's no contact, even when they have the pads on, even in kick return drills. You get a thud and holders. They don't want injuries. Last thing you want is injuries. I think they're ecstatic that they don't have preseason games. Because you could sneak up on some teams early and catch teams early because you could work on things nobody's going to see.
Don't you wonder what David Andrews' doctors are telling him, though?
Yeah.
I mean, blood clotting is an issue that comes with COVID.
Well, he got cleared before
people
COVID.
People have been having strokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Due to COVID.
Well, he got cleared before COVID, and then you're like...
No, I know he did, but I'm saying he's someone with a history of blood clots. He had them in his lungs.
Yeah, I don't think those... You need to be monitored. Those don't go away. You know, it's Coumadin, there's blood thinners you stay on. You gotta be careful if you get cut. You know, there's all kind of things. How do you address the quarterback? Don't forget about Hoyer. He's getting reps.
Jeez.
3 of them.
I'm forgetting about.
Oh, he's been promised to compete for the job. That's why he's here. And you don't compete for the job not getting reps. I'm sorry.
We got more on this coming up. Yep. We'll get some more of your calls as well on the way in just a bit.
I can't wait for the Cam Newton 45-yard scamper versus air that, you know, Howell and those guys will be gaga.
So
over.
Down on Cam Newton. This Dayton Show history is coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This Dayton Show history is still going strong here in the pandemic. Today is the 27th of July. 3 items today. 3 of them. Our first one, Zoe, was from 2018. Can you remember back to 2 years ago where we may have been on the 27th of July? 2 years ago? We weren't here in this studio.
We had to be down at camp.
We were. It was our first training camp show while also being on television. And you almost got hit by something. Do you remember what it was?
No.
I remember this.
Oh, that thing fell. The windscreen came down.
The clamp.
Clamp.
Remember that?
Yep.
It almost injured you. Seriously.
I mean... backs. These backs are getting run. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. What is our first one?
And we have our first TV moment.
It was like a bullet.
What?
Wow.
What happened down there, buddy? You okay?
You didn't see it?
We should probably take this down. It's getting windy.
There was up. It's not raining. We can take it down now.
Almost got hit by one of these.
Pull it down.
It's a big fat clamp.
We put up a tarp because it was raining.
Oh, stupid wind tarp.
It was right next to us.
Reflection.
Clamped it up there.
All right.
And you almost got hit in the head.
Backs are getting rubbed. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Hey, stuff you do to make the show go on, you know?
Jeez.
Put ourselves in the risk of injury every day.
I wish we were there today.
It'd be great to be down there today. Sweat and watch those guys.
You can hear the blowers in the background in that clip.
Oh, it's great.
That's what I miss.
All the things we miss.
Yeah, the guys with the buckets walking around, placing divots. And
by the way, Lisa Edwards is reporting for NFL Network today. Just entered at Gillette Stadium for the first time since March. Pre-visit health screening. temperature check, masks, distancing, lots of precautions, strange new world. NFL Network, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. with Mike Giardi. Hashtag Patriots, hashtag COVID-19, hashtag cover your face.
Huh.
That's what she just tweeted out. I'm sure they had some testing as well. That's been going on. I know that's been one of the requirements for those who will be able to attend. 2017, 3 years ago, we were also at training camp 3 years ago. And you're not necessarily supposed to be reporting on what's happening on the field during practice. I think we always sort of, we sort of straddle that line is what I would say. It did not stop us from bringing you some play-by-play while we were watching practice.
Talk about a drill they're doing here. It's the receiver comes up, and the DB is supposed to stalk him, and like sort of lock him up.
Yeah.
They can't even get their hands on Quest.
We're not revealing state secrets. Looks like they can't get their hands on Deion Lewis either. He could play a real role on this team.
Stupid pick right there by Garoppolo. Forced that one in. Little red zone drill here, 7-on-7. That's two in a row.
That's two bad picks in a row. Sorry, we kind of blanked out here because we're watching a little something. Yeah. And that
worked.
Oh, man. Almost had another pick for Brissett, too. These guys look fabulous here on day one.
Running pressure on a defense.
Well, if you want to know what the reaction was for there, Brady hit Cooks for a touchdown with about a 35, 40-yard throw in the corner of the end zone.
He wasn't open, was he?
That was quite the connection. There's a long throw for you, not to Cooks. Oh, that was another touchdown. That touchdown was to Rex Burkhead.
Jacoby Brissett struggling here.
From about the 5 here, is that where they're at? Let's see what he does here, Zo. Give us a breakdown of the play once it happens.
All right, he come right back. Nice little throw in the back corner. That touchdown? Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. 2 feet down.
Just hope on a plane he doesn't see me and go, oh, there
Devin
he
Lucy.
Is. I didn't want to get ecked. Don't eck me. Look at you. Look at you, slow clap, waiting for you getting on the plane. The Italian Osweiler throwing 2 picks in the first day.
Wow. We may have crossed the line a little bit that day.
So, but no. Like, there goes my point. Like, oh, he's so critical. Yeah, he was really bad in practice, was Garoppolo the point. Remember when then Florio and Pro Football Talk took it to the next level? Like, oh, he was crushing him. Yeah, he was bad in practice. He was.
On this date in 2015, 5 years ago, I believe we were in our studio. We were not at Patriots training camp.
Okay.
We were in the studio reviewing a speech from the day before. So this would have been a Monday, I believe. The 27th would have been a Monday back in 2015. We were reviewing Randy Johnson's Hall of Fame speech, which to me is an all-timer.
My journey in baseball lasted 44 years. I started when I was 7 years old, playing Little League Baseball in Livermore, California, a small little town. After my time in Livermore, California was over, it was a decision I had to make. I got drafted by the Atlanta Braves, and I also had an opportunity to go to college. I chose to go to college and further my education.
Oh, that's what you do.
And played for the legendary baseball coach Rod Dedeaux at USC. After USC, I was drafted 1985 by the Montreal Expos. It took me 4 years in the minor leagues to finally get a call up in 1988. The following year, 89, didn't go so well. I got sent back down to the minor leagues. Then I was part of a trade from Montreal to Seattle that would bring Mark Langston from Seattle to Montreal and myself, Brian Holman, and Gene Harris to Seattle. As my time finished up in Seattle, I went to Houston for 2 months. Then I became a free agent, going back home to Arizona. Those are some very memorable moments there in Arizona. I'm so grateful for everybody that I played with and the franchise.
Okay.
I moved on from Arizona, and then I went on to New York. After 2 years in New York, I came back to Arizona, 2007, 2008. In 2009, I finished my career in San Francisco.
They asked him to give a Hall of Fame acceptance speech. He read his Wikipedia page instead.
Two things. It sounds like Alan from The Hangover, and then we're going to go out looking for hookers and cocaine.
The hookers pack. And blow.
Yeah. And this is where appearances go bad. Like, I haven't done an appearance in a long time, over 5 months. But normally I'll do them for some corporations. You get introduced by the head of the corporation. The guy gets up there and starts reading your Wikipedia. Scott grew up in Western Pennsylvania and played for Ringgold High School Rams, then went on to have a fine career and was committed to the University of...
I chose to go to college and further my education.
Give me the mic. Okay, Zolak from Beetle and... Zolak and Beetle, 10 to 2, 985 Sports of Patriots Color Analyst. Let's go. Let's get to your questions. Don't read Wikipedia. Don't ever read a bio. Jesus, McCone, could you imagine yours back in your days?
And never read your own bio.
Jobs.
No, it sounds like he didn't know that he had a speech and someone just printed out the Wikipedia page.
That's what it sounded like.
He was just like, oh, God.
And I, was in Houston for two months. The 2 months of Houston.
Can you imagine that Randy Johnson summed up his time in Seattle?
And freaking Johnson.
The time, I mean, he was...
The big unit.
He was ridiculous in his time in Seattle. So good. And he sums up the time in Seattle and the time in Arizona when he, you know, won the World Series and I think started and won three games. He went three games. He started like games 1, 4, and 7 in that series. That's how he summed it up.
I started when I was 7 years old playing Little League Baseball in Livermore, California, a small little town.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner.
After my time in Livermore, California was over, it was a decision I had to make.
So were there two of us? There were two of us in the Wolf Pack. I was alone first in the pack, and then Doug joined in later.
Those are some very memorable moments there in Arizona.
I guess that's why they call it Sin City.
Randy Johnson won three games. His Game 7 appearance was in relief. He won three games in that series.
I get confused with the guy he played for when he went to Houston and spent some time and committed. Where did he play college ball?
USC. We're the legendary coach. I forget his name.
Yeah, but it was legendary.
I killed a dove in 2004.
Where was that?
He did.
It was a nice dove. That was a sad day.
Never seen a feathers on a bird explode the way it did that day.
I played for the legendary baseball coach Rod Dado at USC.
Rod Dado! Good to be back in studio. We
really
is.
Couldn't do that.
That's when we're at our best.
Ron Dado.
Starting to get the rhythm back.
Yeah. Of course it was Ron Dado.
Yeah, duh.
Ron Dado.
After USC, I was drafted 1985 by Montreal Expos.
Yeah. That's true.
I was drafted 1985.
That's very nice.
Oh, you entered the 1985 baseball draft, but that's how you're going to term it.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 4 years in the minor leagues to finally get a call up in 1988. The following year, 89, didn't go so well.
He's Alan from The Hangover. He is. Go see the Jonas Brothers. What a piece of work. You should have told the Ricky Henderson, John Olerud story.
Which is apparently false.
I guess.
Yeah. It's urban legend.
I used to play with a guy who wore a hat like that.
Right. It's a fabulous story if true.
I believe every second of
it. So did I.
Because of the player. Ricky didn't care. Ricky's not observant of everything.
The NFL has an agreement to return, by the way. That happened over the weekend. We haven't really mentioned that.
Technically, thank God.
Yeah, they've got a deal done.
Have they officially announced the canceling of the preseason games?
No, they haven't.
That's odd, right?
And this has been a sticking point for me. Last week, I was like, no, they haven't officially done it. And everyone's like, yeah, but it's canceled. I'm like, yeah, but not officially. The options are being left open. But we'll talk about the agreement that was struck over the weekend and what it's going to mean for some guys if they do not follow the rules, if they do not take care of themselves and go home at night instead of going out, like Don Mattingly's players with the Marlins.
Mo Williams.
That too. We'll get to Mo Williams. Lou Williams.
Mo Williams. Lou Williams. When I say Mo Williams, Jesus.
We'll get to all this. They have a deal.
Mo Williams.
They struck a deal. We'll touch on this as we come back on the other side of these headlines with no commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.